Take your copy of God's Word to Joshua chapter 18. This will be our last portion of the portions. We will review the portions when we return, when you return from spring break. And then we'll probably move to look at what does it mean to be an exceptional believer. And we'll look at three characters in the book of Ruth. Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz. I think that's the plan, by God's grace. Joshua chapter 18, I'm just going to read the first six verses. Now the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of meeting there, and the land was subdued before them. But there remained among the children of Israel seven tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. Then Joshua said to the children of Israel, "How long will you neglect to go and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers have given you? Pick out from among you three men from each tribe. I will send them. They shall rise and go through the lands, survey it according to their inheritance, and come back to me. And they shall divide it into seven parts. Judah shall remain in their territory on the south, and the house of Joseph shall remain in their territory on the north. You shall therefore survey the land in seven parts, and bring the survey to me, that I may cast lots for you here before the Lord our God." Father, we are grateful, dear Lord, for your word, and we are praying, Lord, now that the Spirit of God does a work into our lives and where that work needs to be done. And it's going to be varied based upon each and every one of us respectively. But I am asking, dear Father, that the Spirit do work. As we need work, we need your work, we need your power. And so I pray, dear Father, we have an open heart this morning to your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You recall several weeks ago that I shared with you a lesson that was given to me when I first began and my profession as a engineer way back in 1969. And I shared with you the four types of people that my first boss gave me. And he says, "Emmanuel, you need to understand there really are four types of workers here and that you'll work with, and there's four types of workers that you could perhaps could be." He let it be known that there are going to be those that are going to be extremely productive, and unquestionably, they are productive. They are go-getter people. There are going to be those that you're going to encounter that, they're going to look productive. I mean, they're going to have a gift of gab. I mean, they're going to be always out front with an answer and have a reason for why things ought to be done a certain way. But you know what? They're not really productive. They're just all talk and no action. He then told me, as you recall, that there'll be those who don't look very productive at all, but boy, in fact, they really, really are. These people are behind the scenes and they undergird the business. Those are people that you kind of have to have awareness of. They're there. And you know, and to be honest, even though they're behind the scenes, because of their contribution, you'll know the productivity in terms of what they actually do. But then there's this last group, and that last group is a group that they don't look to be productive. And you know what? Unquestionably, they are not productive. I consider them to be sad. Quite sad. Joshua's now, and as the children of Israel, they've relocated from Gilgal. When they came to the promised land, they set up a shop, if I might call it that way, in Gilgal. Gilgal means rolling away, removing the reproach. Several activities took place there at Gilgal. The manna stopped falling. They began to eat of the fruit of the land. They got circumcised, the second generation who had never gotten circumcised during the wilderness wandering. And they participated or engaged in the Passover. That never had taken place. So three events occurred in Gilgal, the rolling away of reproach. Now, They're in Shiloh, Shiloh meaning a place of rest. And people of God at this particular point in time had met all the major battles were complete. They were in the land. They've got control of the land. Yes, there still remains some minor skirmishes that had to be dealt with, but they were in control now. And with this move to Shiloh, we find in our text that the children of Israel assembled there and they erected the tabernacle there. But something basically happens that, you know, and I would consider mind-boggling. He said there in verse number 2, out of the 12 families, seven of them, they hadn't received their inheritance. They were just kind of like standing along the side of the sideline. Why this seven didn't actually take the initiative, the step forward to obtain their portions? I don't know necessarily what the answer happens to be. Maybe they were disheartened for some reason in light of the complexity or the difficulty that they felt they may have to face in taking on the remaining portion of the land. They perhaps have been involved with some of the battles earlier, and maybe they just were a little bit challenged with taking on something like that. They were mentally weak, or the idea when the Joshua says, why do you go to neglect? The Hebrew idea of the word neglect is there's a weakness, there's a slacking of duty, of responsibility. And the man of God, in a very positive way, confronts them about where they reside and what's taking place. My prayer and hope is that no one of you, no one in our student body would fall into that fourth category. But to perhaps there may be some that have a propensity or perhaps a leaning to be more or less on the sidelines and perhaps not taking advantage of God's privilege and the giftedness that He has ordained you. We want to learn from all of Scripture, and I want to learn from these seven sad individuals, these seven slackers, if I might call them, to do this and say this. If we're going to have a victorious Christian life, if we're going to be all that God really wants us to be, I want to challenge you that you must guard yourself against falling victim of wasting privileges given by God. You know, to come here, I read some of the material that the school, the college has assembled to demonstrate or to promote what the school is about. And there is one line, and I don't know if it's recorded there, at least shown there on the website, or is in our student handbook. I was trying to read it, thumb through it real quickly to see exactly where it was, but I do recall reading it, that to be here at IBCS is a privilege and not a right. And that's the emphasis about this education. You're here and you have been accepted and enrolled here, and it's a privilege and not a right. So what advantages are you going to take? What are you going to use? How are you going to function, and how are you going to take advantage of that privilege? I ask myself the question, it might be, where, how do I best accomplish? How do I avoid this in my life? How do I do that? Well, I think there are two ways, and the two ways fall along this line here. One way, and obviously it's going to be the bulk of the way, because we want to learn even from slackers, people who are failing, people who are stagnant, people who just doesn't seem like they're going anywhere. I need to understand the signals. Am I on the wrong road? I want to take advantage of understanding those that really are not moving forward. God's privileged them, and we can just say privileged them to be here, and not taking advantage of those privileges. But then lastly, which is very, very important, is that we possess a willingness to be good listeners and individuals to receive good advice. And I know sometimes being young, you can say, well, I already know it all. Well, the older you get, the less you realize what you really know. And I think a very, very important characteristic of a person in demonstrating maturity is being willing to heed, to listen to, and to receive good advice. So those are the two ways. And so we're going to unpack our two ways. And again, because there's not a lot of maybe that we can totally extract verse by verse, but there's some good implications out of the verses that I will allude to. So we want to understand how that I'm going to avoid. I want to be careful in my journey and this great privilege that he's given us to gain education, to gain preparation, to grow in maturity, surrounded by those that are mentors, advisors, and those with experience to yield good advice. We'll want to consider these two ways. First off, let's make an honest self-assessment. And this has to always be. It needs to be a constant going through our minds and then percolating through our thoughts. What type of individual am I? How am I proceeding and progressing in life and in my education? What's taking place? What's going on in me? The first, other students are establishing themselves, but you. In verse number two, one and two, they are assembled at Shiloh, place of rest. The majority of the conflict has been settled. They really have control of the land, and the land is subdued in verse 1. But he says, but there remain seven other families, tribes. Five have already moved forward. Five have already received theirs. Some in a very difficult manner and willing to take on difficult portions in life, not trying to avoid difficulty, knowing that through difficulty is great reward when we think about Caleb. But here, seven tribes are just slackers. He says, why do you neglect? In verse number 3. Others are moving forward. And you find yourself falling behind in life patterns. You know, one of the keys that we would have here in terms of a part of education here is not just merely the facts that are associated with the curriculum, but the discipline for your life. The integrity and the maturity that needs to be a part and be built in and ingrained into you over the years that you're here. And some will progress. Some, the ones that are taking advantage of the privilege are moving forward in this direction. But those that are going to obviously be behind are the ones that are going to be sad. The ones that are unproductive are going to be the ones that are going to be lacking and therefore taking no advantage of what God has provided. Perhaps there are some, when I think about my dean of students when I was a freshman, and I came in, and I shared this with you, I came into my freshman class, and boy, all of my life, when 12 years of age, I'd said, boy, I wanted to be an engineer, but I got scared when I sat down, and it's a freshman in the class of engineering. I'd always reviewed all the curriculum that I knew that I was going to have to study all the way back from the 10th grade. Oh man, network synthesis, network analysis, pulse digital switching waveform, electromagnetism. And I looked at all that coursework and I says, wow, I don't think I can handle that. So I'll take a minor in engineering and major in more or less technology, electronics. And the dean of students said in that opening session, some of you are sitting here today that are going to take their major and make it a minor. It is as though he was speaking to me, and I'm not a believer, and I don't know if he's a believer, but I knew that I was about to sign up to make my major my minor. And perhaps when we look at not taking advantage of the privileges that God has for you, God's got a calling on your life, or God's got a direction that you knew that's why you're here for, but you've backed away from that somehow or some way. You've allowed that to be in the background and taken something else to be in the foreground. So one of the measures you're going to see in terms of your personal growth is not taking advantage of God's advantages is that you'll see other students are establishing themselves but you. And you see that. You see that. Secondly, your associations also waste God-given privileges. There's a group of seven. Birds of a feather flock together. And so here, the group that I am, you know what? We're just marking time. And so therefore, I'm in the wrong group. I don't know if you ever make any assessments about the individuals that you can say, this is the group that I'm a part of. Again, as a lost person, I always did. And again, I kind of praise the Lord for the small amount of wisdom that he gave me during my youthful days. And there were times that I associated with the wrong groups. But boy, once those groups started doing things that I felt were not progressing towards what I would consider a life that is well-meaning and prosperous and successful, however I defined that as a young person, I drew a line. I can't go along with you that far. We may have grown up, you may be my neighbor, but I can't go along that far. So we would find that what takes place in those that end up, as I would call, sad, there is a group of individuals that are willing to live their life beneath the potential that God has given them. Willing to lead a life that is less than the God-given privilege that has been rendered to you or offered to you, made possible for you. Your associations become very, very critical. What I would always want, and in my, again, undergraduate days, is to be with those that are moving forward and are advancing. And as believers, and taken as believers, those that are following the Lord with all their strength, with all their mind, with all their heart. Not with those that lack the motivation. Your associations also waste God-given privileges. A third, other people question you about your inactivity. Joshua came to the children of Israel and said, hey, how long will you neglect to go and possess the land which the Lord your God, which the Lord God of your fathers have given you? So here you have somebody that's going to come from the outside. And this is kind of a positive because I want to take off from the positive a little bit later on in the second part. Because at least on the positive end, somebody sees that you are not going and you're not being all that you can be, and they confront you. An indicator is when me or some other individual in the administration say, hey, why are things going the way that they're going? Why are you falling far behind in terms of where you should be in maturity and discipline? And timeliness and so on, all the things that are part of being a measure of maturity, a measure of Christian ethic. Why are you behind? So other people come alongside. And that's, again, that's a positive, but it certainly is an indicator that, you know what? I am not taking advantage of all that I can be and all that God's provided for me. Somebody notices a significant weakness, and so therefore, boy, change needs to be made. So Joshua comes to the children of Israel and just questions them, what's taking place? Why are you set aside and just on the sidelines and looking at what others are doing, but you're missing out in life? Missing out in life. Why? Why? There was a young man I may have shared with you when I was in undergraduate school, and he went all the way through, very similar, making his major his minor, but he went into majoring in a certain degree for sake of ease, and only to graduate and start all over again to go to the degree into the discipline that he knew he was supposed to have gone into, so he had to start all over again as a freshman. 8 years of undergraduate school. Other people question you about your inactivity. Fourth, you tend to hold up other people in a group enterprise. Anybody like that? There's a group enterprise, all 12 families. Here's Josh. Joshua wants to wrap it up. Joshua is in the second phase of his calling, and that phase was to apportion out the land. And he's not done. He can't be done because the others in the group haven't done their part. You know, can I praise the Lord for the real experience that you can have with the life teams that have been constructed here? I think that's when I found out that this was one of the areas for growth, I thought it was just outstanding privilege that you have to be able to be a part of leading something, be a part of designing and putting something together, being part of a project. But it also, not only in terms of that planning and being able to have the responsibility to lead that, but to work with one another. Being able to work with a group. And you know, when working with a group, there's going to be, I don't know, they always talk about the 80-20 rule, you know, or the 20-80 rule, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Well, there's probably some truth to that. But within that group, you'll find, and obviously you've already found, there's just different contributions. There are different abilities. Well, that's okay. But there's different contributions, and there's different responsibilities and how people receive and accept responsibility. And some are, boy, you get an assignment and they don't always bring it back on time. Or you have to continue to ask them, did you get this done? When are you going to get this done? We're on the wrong track if we find ourselves most of the time we're holding up what others in the group are attempting to achieve. We are lacking. We're slackers, as the word negative implies. There's a fifth idea that's here. I think you find the best choices already claimed. The nation of Israel, the seven families, they have to go out and they've got to find and deal with the residue that's there. And I think one of the keys in I think the successful life, the more prosperous life, is the one that's going to step forward, given the opportunity to step forward. One of the early lessons, again, in my early life was that, Emmanuel, Lord, given the opportunity, and there is an opportunity, step forward. Be willing to volunteer or take on the responsibility. Don't be reluctant. It advances you to be able to be noted as one to take the initiative to take on a certain level of responsibility. There is a reward for that in life. So here the seven families are left with the residue, and to go out and divide that residue in seven parts. And so we find those that are not willing to step forward. You know, I think when we think about God's working and what God makes an allowance, there's a thought that came to my mind, and it was this thought, at least for this occasion. God does not make allowances for tardiness. God doesn't make allowances for tardiness in life. Don't be a tardy person. Don't be a tardy person. Be timely. Take that initiative. Be one that says, I am one of initiative. Lastly, you leave nothing but a poor testimony for others to follow. You leave a testimony, it's just a poor one. In verse number 2 again, and most of this is coming out of 2 and 3, the writer Joshua makes the statement, there remained among the children of Israel seven tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. That's something that's received, but it's also something that is passed on. And so the individual that's sad or the slacker is one that has no good legacy to pass on. No more than to say that, you know what? I don't want to be like you. I hope by God's grace I don't want to be like you. That's what all can be said about someone with a poor testimony. No legacy. Nothing that a person can pass on to the next generation. Why? Because they have lived a more passive life. They have not taken advantage of the privileges that God has made possible. This is a great time to take advantage of this. It's a great time in terms of the mission of the school, the mission that I believe that God has working in your heart, I certainly trust. Take advantage of all that God has provided you here. Leave nothing unturned. And be and have a legacy that's passed on to the next class that follows after you. So there are the six. Could perhaps have a seven, but I'm going to just hold that one off. Other students are establishing themselves, but you. Your associations also waste God-given privileges. Other people question you about your inactivity. You tend to hold up other people in the group. You find the best choices are already taken. And you leave nothing but a poor testimony for others to follow. But there's a positive that's in here, and I shared with you that back up in number 3, where other people question you about your activity. And these are the kind of people that we must be and want to be. And what we want to be are people that listen and accept godly advice. I want to be a hearer. I want to have a hearing heart like Solomon wanted to help me to discern the will of God, help me discern decisions that I must make in life. I want that. And so I want to be noted as a listener and accept godly advice. Being unsaved, and during the time of I was in school, and I've perhaps have shared this, it was a time of turbulent times on American college campuses, and certainly our campus was no different. There were probably, in my 4 years, 4, maybe 5 major demonstrations that shut the school down. The student body shut the school down. I participated in most of them. But I can remember, and I don't even know what the case was, and I'm not even certain, I know more than this fact that, well, okay, we're not going to class today, and the school was down. And I remember a good friend of mine, we were just walking on campus, and we were passing by one of the professors. He had a great heart for us. He really, really did. And I kind of now know a little bit more about having the great heart, because then I later found that one of his doctor's degree was in theology, one of the Southern Baptist schools out of New Orleans. So he must have been a believer even though he never shared his faith with us or with me. But I remember encountering him, and we used to always chuckle about Mr. Cross, because in class, we asked a question and he couldn't answer it, he'd always tell us to take it as a project. So if I ever tell you in teaching, take it as a project, that just means I don't know the answer. So he'd always tell us, take it as a project. Okay, Mr. Cross, you don't know the answer. Okay, we'll take it as a project. He had a certain sense for my friend and myself, and he stopped us. And he said, this is not good for you. If there's more to life that you desire and aspire than trying to react and do things that are going to hinder you, the impact of what's taking place is not on me, it's on you. And it really struck me. It really, really did. And my good buddy, who ultimately will become dean of a college of engineering there in the South somewhere, we returned back to class, just two of us. We returned to class. That was the last time I'd ever allowed to be swayed to do things that I really thought, this is not worth it. Because as a old program back in the 50s, this is your life. This is my life. This is my life. And so therefore, who best is most responsible for that? It's me, not you. It's me. So be a good listener and accept godly advice. God has people, as number one, to confront and to advise you what is best in your preparation. You may not believe that, but he's orchestrated and the establishment of this school, this institution, and has brought you here to learn, to grow, to prepare for life's calling. And there's going to be occasions where maybe someone, myself, Pastor Messler, others, will want to confront you and advise you and encourage you. What will you do? What type of person are you? Are you a listener? Do you accept godly advice? Well, this is what the seven tribes. If you had to say there's something positive about this, they responded. He tells them to pick up from where they, among them, three men, each tribe, in verse number 4, go out, survey the land. Divide it out into seven parts. And in verse number 8, then the men arose to go away. They took the advice. They took the advice. So we need to understand, please understand, that God has people to confront and to advise you. Take advantage of that. That's opportunity. It's another privilege. And then also understand, number 2, others cannot do what God wants you to do yourself. You can't do it. Joshua tells them, you pick out from among you three men. Joshua tells them, go out and divide whatever's out there, whatever remains into seven portions. You do that. Another 5 are going to do that for you. I'm not going to do that for you. You've got to do that. Which means, in terms of your growth, maturity, your education, yes, I can advise, I can encourage. You can be instructed, challenged. But it boils down to you willing to implement, willing to do. It is not my saying, I left it. I have no idea this guy that's on here. I'll take it. It's in the small print. But I like the saying, and I decided I would show it. Accepting help is a sign of strength. Sometimes we think that's a weakness. It's a sign of strength. And asking for it really is a sign of maturity. And oftentimes we're not willing to do that. I'm elated when somebody says, hey, I need some help. I really am elated when somebody says, I need some help, whether it's in the classroom or about life. That's a sign of maturity. And I'll tell you, and I'm not going to say, hey, I'm the greatest example of that kind of maturity, because I didn't necessarily have that, because I always felt, well, I'm not going to ask anybody. As a matter of fact, I think it might be a male disease, and that disease is when we're driving and we're lost, we won't stop to ask for directions. I will drive for hours until I find a street. Oh, I recognize that street. Well, it only took us an hour to get back there. You could have asked somebody way back in about an hour ago. So I have not learned that lesson yet. So I'm still immature when it comes to driving and being lost, but praise the Lord for GPS. Praise the Lord for GPS. But I trust, you know, and I know there's varying degrees of maturity, varying degrees of the sense of responsibility, varying degrees of discipline. But I trust this is just kind of a lesson to avoid. To avoid. And that we recognize. Now, maybe all six of those don't necessarily play out in your life right now. But maybe you see something that's there. And you'll want to take hold and get out of that rut. Get out of that rut. You don't want to dig yourself deeper. And then be willing to take that advice. Be willing to respond to godly advice as we look and evaluate. And seeking your best. That's one of my goals. One of my goals for you is to seek your best. So I need to try to learn you a lot more. Not only personally, but also in terms of productively and outcomes, what your outcomes have been. And then confront or encourage two ways. Whereas all is going well, praise the Lord, keep going. Where there needs to be improvement, praise the Lord for opportunities to improve. Let's set this as a challenge and move forward. Let's do that. And let's not waste a privilege that God has ordained you. Let us pray.